Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Cinema Sommelier, where we, of course, taste test movies. Now, this time we're going to give you a little bit of something different, so be prepared for that. It's a special episode, guys. For Cinema Sommelier, I'm Gary T. Moore.
And I'm Zachary Washaleski, and today we're joined by an awesome guest.
Hi, guys. I'm Mariah Young.
Today we're going to talk about two different movies, Space Jam and Space Jam New Legacy. All right, I will introduce two movies in rapid succession so that way we could talk about them. The first movie, Space Jam. It's the original, 1996. It is directed by Joe Pitka. And it is basically a movie about Michael Jordan and his legacy, but it's based around a Looney Tunes story. So essentially, it follows MJ's career, leaving basketball, trying to play baseball, and then he essentially gets sucked into Looney Tune land and has to compete in a basketball game with the Looney Tunes to help save them from a bunch of alien creatures. And he gets into this basketball game and he competes, and then he ends up coming back to play basketball. So that's movie one. That's the classic. The second movie, Space Jam, A New Legacy. So it's a 2021 film. It's actually got LeBron James now. You could argue all day about your GOAT status of those two basketball players. That's not what we're going to do today. It's essentially a movie that follows him and his son's relationship, where his son kind of wants to be a video game creator, and he's obviously one of the best basketball players right now, if not the best basketball player right now, and he kind of wants his kid to practice basketball instead of focusing on that. And they both get sucked into a digital world and play this video game basketball style game to save their lives and the lives of the Looney Tunes and all the people who got sucked in with them. Does anyone have anything to add to that?
No, I think it's pretty well covered. Yeah, absolutely. So is that the end of the podcast? We're done with this episode?
40 minutes over. Cool.
Yeah, here we go.
As you could always imagine, I guess spoilers in this case, it feels like it's going to be pretty obvious what happens in both of those movies. If you haven't seen a 25-year-old movie, I guess the new legacy is new, but you're really not going to miss much in terms of spoilers on that one. So go watch it if you haven't. Go watch both of them or maybe just the first one. I guess we'll all have to decide on whether we think that that's the more appropriate reaction.
Yeah. So starting off, Mariah, before we get into this a lot, you hadn't seen either one of these, have you?
Yeah, I had never seen the original Space Jam until last week when we decided to do this. And to be honest, we didn't have cable growing up. I'm not super familiar with the Looney Tunes. Some of the characters came out and I was like, I recognize them, but I don't know their name. You know, they're not near and dear to me either. So it was an adventure.
Yeah, I can imagine seeing Looney Tunes for the first time. It's like, I've seen you on a shirt from a classmate, and that's it.
Yeah, I think I was playing a game with someone the other day, and I called Bugs Bunny Roger Rabbit.
Probably not that far from the truth,
no,
if we're being honest.
A lot of the same energy.
Right.
That'd be a good one. If somebody wants to suggest that, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, that movie was ambitious.
And that came a couple years before the first Space Jam movie. So actually, Bill Murray declined being in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is a big reason why he accepted the role in the first Space Jam movie, being that character. So there's definitely a lot of similarities just in those two movies alone. Obviously, we're not going to talk about Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but it kind of does play in that same animated mixed with real life cartoon. Did you like that style? I guess these two movies are very different, so we can talk about comparing, but just in that first one of animated 2D versus having Michael Jordan in that, like, how did you feel about that?
I mean, I think the first one did it well. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I think Who Framed Roger Rabbit did it better, but it was still, it wasn't painful to watch, you know? It didn't like make me go a little bit cross-eyed or anything, seeing the juxtaposition of the two of them, you know?
Right. I think of like, I watched the second one first. In watching both of these, obviously I've seen the first one many times, but I watched the second one first and I went back and watched the old one and I was just so awestruck with how they did the animation and basically incorporating MJ in. Obviously it's 1996. It's not, they don't have the technology that we have today, but like they were casting like Bugs Bunny's shadow from like 2D shadow onto MJ, which I just found like really well done. Like I don't know if you guys kind of agreed, if it felt fluid in those, but I was more impressed with the original with the animation than I think I was with the new one.
No, I completely agree with that. I think that, I mean, there's a reason, and maybe it's, I feel like we throw this word around too much, especially me. There's a reason that it's so nostalgic, right? There's a reason, besides it's extremely marketable materials, like, and all that kind of stuff. It's just so well made. Like, it's just good. Like, you throw a live action person into an animated world and then vice versa. And then, I, you know, maybe in the new one, it kind of gets in the way. Like, it tries a lot of stuff. And right. Some things, I'm not saying it failed at. Like, a lot of things it succeeded at. But there's just some classic nature of the first one that it's just like, yes, you've seen it done before, but like, this is, you know, this is cool. They're all playing sports and like, there's Looney Tunes and like, you see all this, you see Michael Jordan, who would not normally be in a role like this, taking this role and doing okay. Much, I can say this, much better than LeBron James. and I think, yeah, I mean, but then too, I'll go ahead and I'll spoil this a little bit. I didn't hate the new legacy. I didn't hate the new one. I didn't. I, you know, it wasn't perfect. And I think it needed to be sent back to the writer's room quite a few times.
Right.
But like, as far as like a movie, it was fun. It was entertaining. It was awfully slow. It needed to be edited down, definitely edited down. It was 2 hours. We didn't need an hour. I would say we would have been okay at an hour 25.
Well, that's because the last hour was all the basketball game. It was an entire hour of basketball game.
Yeah.
No, yeah, no. It's interesting because the old one isn't that long, and maybe that's just a way that movies are going now with being so long to fit as much as you want into it. But the first one, it follows a story. Like, it follows, to me, MJ. Like, I don't know how much you guys, Mariah, obviously this is new to you in general of watching this movie, but like, you guys, neither of you follow basketball. I don't really follow basketball either. But his story of like, his father died in 93. So he left to go play baseball, which is what his father did. So like, that's all in the beginning. It's all like a child's exposition to tell you sort of what happened to MJ. So he went to pursue baseball and then come back to play basketball. So this basically happened when he came back in his first year in 95. He went on to win several more championships. But you kind of have to know that story to follow. This is the point of the movie. Like, the point of the movie is MJ's career between basketball to then baseball, then now back to basketball. The second one doesn't have that journey. Like, the second one is really just a movie at that point. Like, it's not even, to me, a real life LeBron James. It feels like it's a made up acting LeBron James with a bunch of plugs for Warner Brothers. Obviously, that, I think that's the biggest complaint of the movie, but it doesn't follow that story.
You get it. Yeah, you get it briefly. You get a very brief, like, oh, mom's got to work.
Right. But even that, like, does that come into play?
No, not really. It's just mom's got to work. Sorry, I can't watch your basketball game. Now you're playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now you're a millionaire. Like, I understand, because the first one did it so well. Like, even if you didn't know, and Mariah, you can speak more on this because like, this is all new to you. Even if you didn't know the story behind it, like, it, I feel like it sets up Space Jam, the first one, sets up like, okay, this is a story you have to follow and you get to follow. Whereas the new one, it's kind of, we were poor. And that's really it. Mariah, how do you how did you grasp that?
No, I mean, I absolutely agree. The first one, the storyline, make even though like the storyline is aliens coming down from Moron Mountain, right? The story makes more sense than this new one. Like, these are weird cartoon aliens, and somehow they still make more sense. But even more so, I think the story really helped out Michael Jordan in terms of his acting. Like, because I know, like, watching the new one, you see LeBron James, and you're, like, cringing the whole time. You're like, come, oh, buddy. But, like, not to dump on LeBron, because, like, Michael Jordan had it easy, you know? They didn't really give him a big, you know, acting, like, role, if that makes sense. Like, sure, he's the main character, but they just said, hey, go out there and act like Michael Jordan. Like, go say game stuff. Go say stuff that Michael Jordan would say. And LeBron, they decided to give him this new family. Like, they decided to make him try to have emotions, which, you know he's not an actor. So I don't know. I think they did him a disservice by giving him too much plot line.
I wonder how much. So LeBron was also in Trainwreck, and I feel like LeBron did a good job being like the comic relief in Trainwreck. So like, I feel like he has the ability to act. Maybe it's a role, maybe it's the lines, I'm not sure. But I was wondering how much of this, and I don't think, as much as we love movies here at Cinema Sommelier, I don't think we know the behind the scenes of some of these types of like CGI animation. How much of this like new, you're basically just acting in a green room with a bunch of like tennis balls, and you're like, I'm speaking to tennis balls, and this one's Tweety, and then this one, like, it just kind of makes you go a little bit crazy. So it feels like it'd be very difficult for LeBron James, who's not an actor, versus like, you've got like Ian McKellen, who's already gone and said, like, when I was doing Lord of the Rings and I was having to talk in like a green room by myself a lot of the time, I can't do it. Like, it breaks down even the best actors. So like, did MJ have that same thing? I don't know. Like, I don't know how much of that is like MJ just sort of went out there. He didn't have a lot of lines, didn't have to act. He kind of just got to play basketball and they edited things around him, versus like LeBron, they tried to plan and it just became more difficult. So that's kind of what I chalked it up to.
So I'm looking right now, actually, I just Googled really quick, Space Jam behind the scenes, and it's literally Michael Jordan in a green room surrounded by men dressed in green. And so, yeah, they had the same experiences, essentially. But I do agree with Mariah. I think that they gave LeBron James too much, right? It was this whole big thing where it's like, it was weird. Like, I didn't like him at first. Like, there was nothing redeemable about him. It was just like, listen, you're on the court where we play games. There ain't no games out here. Also, really quick, if we're going, who throws away a Game Boy? It wasn't even his Game Boy. He threw away his friend's Game Boy in the trash because he's like, I'm gonna play basketball now because the guy from Remember the Titans yelled at me. And I have to take this seriously now.
Denzel was not in this movie. Don't lie to the people.
No. Wasn't it Julius?
The left side. Yeah, the left side
Julius?
Guy.
Yeah, it was Julius.
It was that guy from The Wire.
His speech when he's just like, you gotta work to do this. He tried to give the exposition in that opening thing. I implore you to just go and like look at that dialogue, and like, that's what was wrong with the second movie for me. He's just like, man, you have so much talent, you could do great things. And then he like proceeded to say the same thing five more times in a different way, and be like, you could do so much great on this basketball court, you're so good, you have so much like, and he just like kept going. I'm like, dude, slow down, like, let's just shrink the dialogue here and get your point across without doing it five times.
Yeah, I feel like that was the running thing of the movie, like, hey, listen, don't be yourself, but be yourself though. It was so chunky peanut butter when it came to writing.
Can we take a moment to discuss this algae rhythm guy and like what that was supposed to be? Because it was a terrible idea.
It makes me laugh because it's just like, all right, so is Warner Brothers admitting that they're just making all of their movies based on like whatever they think is just going to sell more? Like, let's just put these things in there. Let's put Game of Thrones in there. Let's put like all of these just like the algorithm is like, oh, this is what's deciding what's going to be best for Warner Brothers. And it's like, so you're telling me that you're not actually being creative anymore. You're just you're just picking things that'll sell and get people to go to the movies. So it's kind of stupid.
The algorithm, by the way, is the bad guy.
Right, right.
Which works directly for Warner Brothers. So Warner Brothers, in their own film, made themselves the villain.
Mm-hmm. And they also made LeBron the villain in his own film. Like, it just, it was a weird plot with that as well. They're, like, you kind of cheer for algorithm because he's being a better dad to LeBron's son in the movie for like 75% of the movie.
Like, it's like when you go back and watch the movie Hook, right? So Peter Pan was not a good dad, but then Hook gets the kid, and Hook's a great dad, but then through him being a bad dad, he realizes that, oh, maybe I'm a bad dad, and now I'm a good dad. And thus we have the complex relationship of LeBron James with his son, who all he wants to do is play video games, and he's 12 years old, and he designed a video game, which got just buried into your head the whole time that he's 12 years old and he made this video game.
They harp on video games so much in this movie, in the second movie, that is.
Yeah.
Of just like, oh, see kids, like, this is why playing video games is helpful. And like, they mention the video game thing. They really do beat it in so much. And I don't know, like, is Warner Brothers making a Space Jam video game? Like, is that the point of this? I don't know.
You know, Looney Tunes have always kind of been on the back burner. Like, Mariah didn't know who they were. I just feel like Looney Tunes deserve a little bit more. I mean, I was expecting a Brendan Fraser cameo, but we didn't get one because he was in.
Didn't even get an MJ cameo.
No, no,
well, not technically.
They made fun of it, which I thought was pretty brilliant. Okay, so let's just discuss these casts for a minute, because I feel like they took the new one. And they're like, LeBron James has a name, but he cannot act at all. So let's throw literally everybody in Hollywood at this guy and see what we can walk out with. Like, you have Zendaya, you have freaking Don Cheadle, who is amazing. Not so much in this one. I mean, he was okay. He doesn't need money, though. He's got Marvel money. Like, you have, like, all these great people that just couldn't help LeBron James look any better.
Yeah, I don't get the Zendaya thing. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Zendaya, and she was Lola Bunny in this. But, like,
why?
Like, was there really a need to change? The change of Lola Bunny is a whole another topic, but, like, putting her in there instead, like, why did she sign up for it? And I feel like I read somewhere that's, it was pretty last minute. It was going to be the original voice of Lola Bunny. And then they're like, just kidding, Zendaya agreed. Like, sorry, you're out. This Zendaya's in. But I didn't get that one. And I feel like you're right. They had a lot of talent that kind of got wasted.
But the first, like, if we look at the first one, I mean, it had, his name's escaped me right now, but Stan Podolak.
Wayne Knight.
It had Bill Murray, which cannot be touched. And then, like, you take Michael B. Jordan and just throw him away, too? Like, how many day players do you need to try to make LeBron look better? And just, and all of the cameos you see from literally, like, Pennywise and The Mask and...
The gang from Clockwork Orange is in there at some point.
Clockwork Orange, Scooby-Doo, the Jetsons, the Flintstones, everybody
Iron
is
Giant,
in this movie.
King Kong.
Iron Giant. I did like that. Since we talk about Denzel so much on this podcast, I literally wrote in my notes that I love that Denzel, or the Training Day line,
right.
Where Don Cheadle goes, King Kong ain't got nothing on me. And then you see King Kong in the background, and it's just,
it was well done.
He shrugs, and I'm like, this is okay. This is one of those few moments of humor that I'm like, this is fun. This is a fun, and it had a lot of those moments. Like, I thought a lot of it was really fun, but I said this earlier in a conversation. It would work better if it wasn't a Space Jam movie. If it was just like another Looney Tunes mashup movie that featured all these cool Warner Brothers things, it would have been a lot better.
Right.
But they struggled so hard to be like, basketball, video games. It was just so, it didn't work. Didn't work in that light.
So one of our lost episodes of Ready Player One also is Warner Brothers doing somewhat of a similar tactic where they just kind of like plug as much things as they can in one movie. So in that case, like, I kind of liked it. I enjoy Ready Player One for that. But I think you're right. Like, this one, it's not really even Space Jam. Like, they're playing a basketball game, which ended up like 1,400 points to 1,399. Like, I don't quite understand. Like, it's not basketball anymore. It's kind of loosely around a basketball video game. Like, I guess it's directly around a basketball video game. But, like, it's just not the same. And I completely agree. They do the plugs in the first one. I think they do it better. Like, they're more self-aware of their plugs in the first one than the second one is just, like, in your face.
Well, and, like, even Ready Player One, like, and the first one, like, those are more Easter eggs. I know you guys love your Easter eggs, but this one, it's like giant balls of hail pelting you from above, and like, it's just so right in your face about it. It's like a giant ad for Warner Brothers instead of an actual Space Jam movie.
I mean, I cared when we got to the basketball game. In all honesty, I could not care less about them playing basketball. I was like, cool, you're just now giving me Easter eggs to find in the background. Like, that's just what I'm going to turn this movie into. And like, it sucks for a movie. Like, I guess at least with Ready Player One, I was following along with it and saying like, oh, there's an Easter egg here. And like, but the plot's still progressing. That at that point, I was just like, I don't really care about this movie anymore. It's been an hour of nothing or an hour of like wasted time. I'm just going to look for Easter eggs and see what I can find in the background.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it kind of turned into, because it's like, okay, they're finally at the basketball game in the second act of this movie. But, oh, everyone else is here. So I don't really care what happens in the basketball game. Let me look and see who's in the crowd. Right.
That's not to say that they don't do those sort of things in the first movie, too. Like, I mean, Daffy Duck has, like, the Warner Brothers logo on his butt and, like, kisses it at one point in the movie. Like, it is so self-aware of, like, we're literally kissing the butt of Warner Brothers in doing these things. Like, that's fine. Like, it's the self-aware humor of it rather than just like, we're just gonna shove it in your face. Like, at some point, I think even like Wayne Knight's character is like, all right, come on, Michael, we gotta go. We'll like grab your Wheaties and grab your Gatorade and your, like, he just like rattles off all of the things. Right. Like, all the things that MJ has had like sponsorship deals with. And it's moments like that where I'm like, it's kind of in your face, but like a humorous in your face.
Right.
Because it's done in a way that doesn't feel as aggressive. Like, this does feel like an ad. It's so bright. It's so colorful. And like, that's it. Like, that's what they wanted to do in the second movie. Does anyone have any like favorite scenes, or I guess least favorite scenes? Let's try to pick one from both movies.
Okay. God, just the first movie is so good. And once again, it's probably so good to me because of nostalgia. Topher brought up an interesting question. He's like, I wonder how bad that movie was to people our age in 1996.
Right.
I wonder if people like in their late 20s, early 30s were like, oh, this movie sucks. Or were they like, oh, the Looney Tunes are everything. You know, like, what did they think about it?
I was looking at a review for OG Space Jam when it came out. And like, even the review that only gives it a 50 out of 100 was like, they did a good job with what they were going for.
Yeah, I guess it's because we were kids. We were kids and we're like, this is the pinnacle of everything. It's got action. It's the Looney Tunes. It was, whatever. But as far as best and worst scenes go, I loved, not even the scene really. I loved it when Michael Jordan gets ripped down the golf hole and Bill Murray's reaction.
The camera.
He's just like, would you not point that camera at me, please? And then he just throws it out. Probably because it's Bill Murray. And I think anyone, you know, should have an appreciation for Bill Murray. What about you guys? Best scenes from the original?
OG, best scenes for me has to be, honestly, when Michael Jordan falls into Looney Tunes land and meets Bugs. And he's just like, oh, hey, Bugs. Like, absolutely no surprise from him. Like, they don't try to act it up at all. He's just like, oh, hey, I'm in Looney Tunes land, as opposed to LeBron. Like, what? Where am I? You know, like, I really enjoyed that. It was hilarious.
Yeah, they had this way of doing things that was just so like, like Zach said multiple times, so self-aware. And I think that that's, it's like, oh, we're both humongous icons in the industry. Naturally, we know each other's, you know, where each other lives and all that kind of stuff.
They worked together on some commercials. I think that's actually how that, like, spurred Space Jam to be a movie, is like Bugs and MJ did commercials together for, like, his Air Jordans, which maybe that's what they're going for. It's like, oh no, they know each other. Like, they were in a commercial together. Like, I don't know if that's what they're going for, but right. That is hilarious. I never really thought of that. He kind of just, like, falls. He's like, oh, hey man, like, how's it going? I guess I'm here now. Like, everything's two dimensional. I think my favorite, and I'm going to sort of mash together two scenes, it's when Wayne Knight's character is, like, digging out the hole to try to figure out where MJ went.
Yes.
And the first guy who comes over is like, hey man, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just fixing a divot. And, like, just the guy's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, it just goes on with his day. And then, like, later he's still digging and it's like a giant crater in the middle of the golf course. And that's when both Bugs and Daffy are walking back with MJ's basketball gear, and they're just having a conversation of, like, you know what a great team name would be? The Ducks. And then the Bugs just goes, like, what kind of Mickey Mouse, like, garbage team name would be the Ducks? Which is just an obvious shot at Disney for naming, like, with the Mighty Ducks. So I thought that that was great and a good quick stab at a competitor in their market.
Absolutely. No, I absolutely love that. And there's so many of those in the original, and I think something that the new one gets wrong is they try too hard. You know, it doesn't flow naturally. Like, nothing is natural about how the new one goes, as far as humor is concerned. And the old one, it seems like they were still using, like, I mean, Grant, I'm not an editor, but, like, old editing techniques, like, their timing was spot on. And this one, it was just kind of like you were driving a stick shift for the first time. Like, you were going a little bit, but it was not a smooth sailing road.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes from the new one. It wasn't even a scene. It was a line. It was after, it was during one of the games, or maybe it was at the end of a game or a practice game or something like that. I forgot who says it, but they just say game blouses, which is a Chappelle Show reference that I absolutely love. Which is a on Chappelle Show was a reference to playing basketball with Prince at Prince's house. And I ate that up. I thought it was so fantastic and so smart of them to throw that in there.
Yeah, I would say, like, my favorite is also the references. Like, my all-time favorite probably is now the Training Day reference of the King Kong thing. Like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, it's just so perfect. The fact that we also just recently watched Training Day.
Right.
So I think that those references are probably my favorite. Whether or not you enjoyed all of them is probably not, you didn't. But there's a little bit in there for everybody. Like, they had, like, a big chungus for, like, Bugs Bunny, like, 10 seconds into seeing Bugs Bunny on screen. So there's,
yes,
like, a lot of, like, memes and references, and they tried to, like, jam pack it with that. Some of them I greatly enjoyed. The rest of them is the reason why I probably didn't.
And really quick, Mariah, I promise I'll let you go. They had a line, and I'm paraphrasing it because I listened to it and I laughed out loud, because once again, the self-awareness. LeBron says something to the effect of, I'm a ball player, and with athletes acting, it never goes well.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay, I think LeBron is setting us up for what he knows is going to happen, which I just thought was brilliant. So, Mariah, yes, favorite scenes in the new one.
They did have some good one-liners, but to be honest, my favorite scene, I think the apex of this movie, was the credits at the beginning of the movie. And it was, the rest of it, I feel like, was hot garbage, and I lost 2 hours of my life. But the credits were good.
Oh,
we're here now.
Oh.
Sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen. 30 minutes in, Mariah has set fire to LeBron James. The king has been dethroned by Mariah Young.
I don't blame it on him. Like, they did him a disservice, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's an homage to the first movie, too.
Yeah. It is an homage to the first movie.
It's literally the same way that they did the first movie. So it's not even that they did something themselves that was good. It's just they copied something that was already like kind of iconic.
Honestly,
for the first movie.
I had never seen like the OG one at all. And we watched New Legacy first. So the first one I ever watched of Space Jam was the one with LeBron James. And after we watched that, my boyfriend was like, okay, let's watch the first one. And I was like, do we have to? Is it, it's going to be this bad. I know it's going to be, you know, another hour and a half of loss of life. Like, I really did not want to watch the next one because the first one was, oh, such garbage.
I'm glad you stuck it out for what I would argue is the better of the two movies.
Oh, 100%.
1,000%.
Even without that nostalgia of like remembering it from my childhood, I fully enjoyed that movie, the original.
Good. I'm so glad you did, because like, you know that feeling when like you tell your friends that like, hey, you should watch this movie. Like, I watched it when I was a kid. And then like they hated it and like how bad you feel. That's kind of my connection, right? So like the fact that you liked, at least liked, we'll say liked the original Space Jam. I'm just like, okay, good. My friends are still my friends. They like what I like still. good. We're on the same playing field. And that's, at the end of the day, that's really...
I'm curious because it's such a thing from y'all's childhood. If you have any least favorite points of the original movie.
I do have one, and it's such a small thing, but I've even as a kid, I'm like, why is that there? A few things. Actually, yes, now that I'm thinking about it. First off, Michael Jordan's house. You're telling me that Michael Jordan just lives in the suburbs?
He's in like Charleston or something. Like, where is he?
He's like the richest, most popular basketball player is at the time, at least. And he just lives at the end of the block and his kids play Little League and his wife provides the Capri Suns. I don't buy that. Even then I'm like, that's not happening. And the second thing is when Bugs and Daffy went back, why was his shoe on top of the whatever that was? I'm like, that makes his kids aren't that tall. He's probably not even that tall. Why was it up on like this little pillar that's 10 feet off the ground in his office where everything is neatly placed and framed and dust free? Why is that all the way up there? I don't understand that.
I feel like I have completely different things. Like I actually, especially now that I've seen both movies, like I don't think I ever looked back at like MJ. They hit MJ's house in that movie. Like, so like they bring it up every time the house is shown. They're like, oh, what a wonderful house you have, MJ. And it's like, it's just such a weird thing. Cause it mm-hmm. really doesn't feel like an like extravagant house. Like, it's not the LeBron James mansion on a hillside.
No, it's
like,
not.
It's just like a home, right? And,
right,
and maybe that's just part of like what they wanted, but that's part of what I loved about the original in going back and watching both of these. I loved just how normal MJ was in that versus LeBron was this like mean guy who is like uber rich, and they kind of threw that in your face a lot of the time. So I'll disagree with you there. The shoe thing, I don't have an answer for that. I guess that kind of feels fair. My big one in the original movie that I didn't like, and I was actually super worried going back because of the nostalgia, and like I know that I enjoy this movie, but I'm like, maybe it's not actually a good movie and it's only nostalgia. I don't think it is, but the old movie, all of the other basketball players kind of like their scenes feel unnecessary and just added in for time.
Whoa.
Like a lot of times like they're like walking around like, how do we get fixed? And I didn't like that. And maybe that's just me. You guys' reactions right now make it seem like that's just me. But it's the part that I just didn't like. They just kept cutting back to like, well, how are they going to get fixed? And I'm like, we know already as the audience. So this feels like you're just feeding me filler time to then jump back to something else. Like, you just didn't want to cut from an MJ scene to an MJ scene. So you just put something in between.
Mariah, you disagreed with that. What is your take on those?
I feel like even if it is just filler to fill out the time and make it at least an hour and a half and put between MJ scenes, that's okay, because honestly, I loved those scenes. I thought they were thoroughly entertaining. I don't even know any of those players. I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
But I know they're bad actors. I know they're genuinely basketball players, and that's what made it funny, you know?
Right.
That's what made it so good. You just kind of saw them being weird and goofy, and it was awesome.
Absolutely. I think it kind of humanized them, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, they've been, like, these larger-than-life people their entire time. And, like, it plays on everything. It plays on their height, especially with Muggsy, and, like, when they all hit the thing, and then Charles Barkley. Just give Charles Barkley a mic. That guy is gold. Speaking of Charles Barkley, if Bruno Rose is listening to this, congratulations on your commercial deal with Charles Barkley and Dick Sports, I believe.
Go Bruno.
Yeah, go Bruno, absolutely. But I think that yes, Mariah, I agree with you. I thought those scenes, they furthered the story. I didn't see them as filler at all. It's like, oh, these guys are still sucking. The game is more important. You know, you got a little bit more. Plus, I love the song Basketball Jones.
That's fair. Let's be real. The music in the first one, by far superior to the music in the second one. Like, I get that they 100%. Got a lot of big artists in the second one. Like, and we can talk about R. Kelly being the probably highlight of the first one. But the people in the second one, it doesn't have the same feel. Like, you don't have Basketball Jones. You don't have the, like, Space Jam intro song. You don't have I Believe I Can Fly. Like, oh, so many good things. Yeah. So,
I mean, the music was good.
Right.
And I'm going to try something new. I'm going to introduce one more quick thing.
Can I just get y'all's take on two things on the original that I had a problem with? One, the sexualization of Lola Bunny was so incredibly uncomfortable. Like, did anyone else feel that, or was it just normal because you've seen it in the past?
Not as an 8-year-old. As an 8-year-old, I was like, all right,
Bunny.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Duly noted.
Right.
The beginning of furries happened.
Yeah.
Right there.
The beginning. Yeah. It's fueled the next generation.
Second thing, Michael Jordan's secret stuff. That entire scene. And like,
secret sauce, Gary.
Secret sauce.
I don't know. Can we kind of, what is it? Brainstorm a different name for that so that it doesn't sound so awkward and sexual?
Well.
They kind of played off of that humor. Like, I feel like maybe that was for the adults. That my defense to that is it kind of felt like they played off of, like, either the sexual something or, like, steroids. Like, it was just hardcore, like, oh, this is, like, how MJ got
so
steroids.
Uncomfortable.
And I don't know why.
So uncomfortable.
But
look what happened. Like, it's like as soon as he took the secret, as soon as Bugs took the secret stuff, he, like, hulked up.
Right.
And because of that scene right there, that's why I drew wrestlers and stuff that way when I was younger, because I didn't know how muscles worked thanks to Bugs Bunny.
Thanks, Bugs.
Just flexing up. So what I wanted to do really quick is I want to take, like, let's say 45 seconds a piece, and let's do a spit take on what you thought of both movies total. So I think our guest of honor should go first. Mariah, whenever you are ready, take about 45 seconds. I'll cut you off at 45 seconds.
Okay. Starting now. Original one, the new one, obviously hot garbage. Like, that's all I have to say. I don't even need any more time to say it. Original one, it was nostalgic even without just for the 90s in general, even without having seen it before. I think they did a good job by just making it super simple and making it enjoyable for, you know, kids and adults either way. Just by simplifying it, they made it easier on themselves to do a good job at what they were trying to do. So that's all I got.
Right on the dot, 45 seconds.
Okay. That was all perfect. Right. Zach, whenever you're ready, go ahead and time you from the first word you say to 45 seconds.
I'm going to take the opposite approach, and I think the first movie doesn't really need anything to be said. Like, Mariah did a great job. It's nostalgic. Great. The second movie, who in the writer's room, who decided to make this movie? Like, I get that they've wanted to make a second Space Jam for years. Like, it's been 25 years, but this is the best that we can come up with in 25 years is, like, horribly written, overproduced, and, like, over CGI'd and everything. Like, we animated and made 3D Looney Tunes. It's lazy. It was an absolute hot mess to make the second movie for no reason. Right. And they made LeBron the bad guy and made Warner Brothers the bad guy in their own freaking movie. It was a waste of time. Waste of 2 hours.
Boom. Okay. Write it. 45 seconds. Okay.
Gary, what do you got?
So I feel like both of these movies will hold a place with me. I didn't hate the second one. I didn't hate the second one at all, except for the parts that I did hate, which I went into a lot. I feel like, once again, this was not a Space Jam movie. And if you look at it from not a Space Jam movie, then I think it's okay. I think it's perfectly passable. The first one will always be there. Nostalgia and just good. I thought the writing was good. Bill Murray was great. Even the basketball players were fun. LeBron James is not an actor and he shouldn't be taken as an actor. But Bugs Bunny is fantastic. And I want them. I've had this idea for a movie called Space Slam, patent pending, where it's the same thing, but it's with wrestling instead. I think that if you treat it like Air Bud, it will be even more successful.
Well done, well done. All right, well, I guess with that said, with all of our airing out our grievances and our rewards to the more appropriate Space Jam, let's get into ratings and wine comparisons. We want the guest to go first in this case too.
Yes, please.
All right, I'm gonna go for OG Space Jam rating of, okay, I'm looking at the wine rating right now. I'm going to say a rating of 75. I'm looking, it's saying a drinkable wine that may have minor flaws. And that's how I feel about original Space Jam. Like, it's watchable. It's even rewatchable. It definitely has flaws. Just from like its time period and from, you know, it being a Space Jam Looney Tunes movie. It's not everyone's cup of tea, you know. So I'm going to go 75 for that. New one, I'm going to give it 10 points for the credits and another 10 points because the kid was pretty decent, like for a kid. So it has 20 points.
Love it.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. I'll take that. Zach. Mariah. Sorry. Your drink, your beverage of choice to pair this with, these with.
Oh, Okay. I actually had fun with this. So OG Space Jam, I'm going to say, is a Jack and Coke. It's not the best drink, but it has nostalgia. It's like, you know, college time. It's cheap. It's easy. It's still fun. It's still drinkable. But you know it's not the best, and you could probably drink something better. New Space Jam. New Space Jam is your good old Virgin LIT.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what they put in it, but none of it was alcohol and none of it did the job, even though they threw in the whole kitchen sink.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Absolutely fantastic. Zach, what do you got? What's on deck for you?
So for the first one, the OG Space Jam, I'm up there. I'm kind of hesitant to go too far. I'm going to give it a 68. I think that feels like a good, it's a movie that every time I'm watching it, I'm going to feel that nostalgia, but I'm not really going to seek this movie out to watch it. Like, I'm so grateful that we watched it, but it kind of falls in that good borderline great, but not excellent, not the best. In terms of the new one, I'm low. I am less than half as well. I'm at like a 32, I think, for the new one. I think it's just a plug for what Warner Brothers is doing with their movies. And it's not really a movie that needed to be made or should have been made in the way that it was. So, and then in terms of the wines, I'm actually going to compare both of them to the same wine because they both have the same character that I based it off of, which is just in completely character that nobody even knows, which is Foghorn Leghorn. And so I'm going to go with the Wente Morning Fog Chardonnay, which is a white Chardonnay. It's flavorful and it pairs well with chicken. I feel like that kind of fits the Foghorn Leghorn. That's just the character I chose to go off of because I think he's hilarious.
I do love Foghorn Leghorn. He's got a line in the first one where they call him a chicken. He goes, well, I'll resemble that remark.
Exactly.
And I lost my mind. Okay, so as far as ratings go for the OG Space Jam, that's what we're referring it as. You know what? I'm gonna have to go with. I'm not like you guys. I'm gonna say an 85.
Wow.
And I'll say 85 because it says on this little explanation chart, very good, a wine with special qualities. I think that that movie has a lot of special qualities. It's got a great message. It's got a great soundtrack. It's got, you know, Michael Jordan, who's the GOAT, if one of the GOATs, if not the GOAT of basketball, and he doesn't do a terrible job in this movie. Neither does any other basketball player, and Bill Murray. So 85, a solid 85 for that one. And for the other one, for my drink of, or I'll do both ratings and then I'll do the drink. Okay. for the second one, I think I'm gonna go like 75.
Whoa!
Wow.
No, I'm not. I'm not gonna do that. I was like, maybe that's too nice, Gary. You gotta stop being nice.
Dig deep.
I'll go 50. I'll go 50, and this is why. 50 is at the very bottom point of the 100-point scale of not recommended. I would recommend this movie to people just so I can talk about this movie. Not for any, like, you should watch this movie, it'll change your life. I want to talk about this movie because that in turn and in life is what this podcast is all about. So I will say a 50, but only because we can talk about a 50. It doesn't even have things for beneath 50 points. So I gotta stop being so nice. And I'm as far as drinks go, on the first one, I appreciate that. On the first one, I'm going to have to go with, I'm going to go with a PBR, right? You notice it as soon as you look at it. It's been around for ages. Once again, I'm stealing a little bit of this from Mariah. It's all around college campuses. It's got that, it's a nostalgic American look. And so I'm going to say PBR. For the new one, I'm going to say Goldschlager, a Swiss cinnamon schnapps, because it looks cool on the outside. It's got flakes of gold and, you know, LeBron James, all the cameos and the Easter eggs that the trailers focused on. But then you taste it and you're like, this might have been a bad choice. So that was my choice for that one.
That is perfect.
Yes. Love it.
Yeah, I felt pretty good about that. So now that we are done with that, I suppose we spin that bad boy of a wheel and see what we will start reviewing in the month of October, the spoopy month. It doesn't have to be a horror film, guys, for those of you listening. But we will see what is happening as soon as we spin that wheel. So spin that wheel, producers. Oh. Oh, joy.
Speaking of October.
So, speaking of October, ladies and gentlemen, for our next film, a film that is directed by Jim Sharman, the 1975 musical comedy horror film, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Whew.
That is such a great wheel option. I'm so excited. That's a great movie too. We'll see as we start digging into it, but it's going to be a fun one. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And if you're local to the Western Carolina area, go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show in Valdez, North Carolina, the last three weekends of October. It's going to be outside, so you are Delta variant protected somewhat. Wear a mask.
Plug.
Yeah, I had to. I can't just not do that. Okay, so I guess grab your fishnets.
And your newspapers instead of an umbrella.
And your golden Speedo.
And meet me
in Transylvania.
In Transylvania. Yes. At that, actually, I feel like this was our best ending. Our best ending. So, ladies and gentlemen, for Cinema Sommelier, I am Gary T. Moore.
I'm Zachary Washaleski.
And I'm Mariah Young.
Mariah, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you. This has been a blast.
It really has.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm really glad you like Space Jam. Until next time, friends, we will see you at the movies. Can we say that? That's somebody else's tagline, right? It's like AMC's tagline. Please don't sue us.